I do. Many of us in Saskatchewan. Let's get back to the calls now. Marvin in Regina, you've got an idea you've been thinking about.
Hi, John Brett. Yes, I've had this on my brain since 1995. There's a big push for taking wind and solar and using it for to replace fossil fuels for clean energy. But, of course, they're not dependable. So what you need to do is convert that electricity into a storable fuel. And what my innovation does is it takes that electricity whenever it's generated and using hydrogen crackers, cracks hydrogen and oxygen from seawater to use as your fuel source. And you compress it and store it in large pressure vessels or underground caverns, just like propane, butane, and natural gas already are. And all the technologies needed already exist, are proven, they just haven't been used in conjunction. And this, there's zero particulate emissions from burning hydrogen. There's zero carbon monoxide, zero carbon dioxide produced. And anything that comes out of it is just water vapor, which automatically recycles itself into freshwater rain.
Marvin, I'm just curious. Before Brett asks you a question, when you talk about cracking hydrogen, what's a hydrogen cracker? Like, how does that work?
Well, it's kind of a pressure vessel that the oil refineries use to crack hydrogen that they need for the hydrocarbon processing. And what it does is it uses electricity to crack water into its gaseous components of hydrogen and oxygen. And, you know, there's electrodes in it, and it cracks that, and the gases are siphoned off, separated, and used, you know, as a fuel source. Now, hydrogen burns hotter than gasoline, and it burns completely cleanly.
Brett Wilson, what do we think?
Well, first of all, as an engineer trained at the University of Saskatchewan, this is at my pay grade or only slightly above because I've forgotten a lot of what we're talking about, but I'm familiar with the pieces. So first impression, the world of taking energy, especially energy that's produced at off-peak times or at a lower cost, and then having the ability to store it or use it, whether it's when the wind's blowing, you take advantage of the wind. When the water's flowing, you take advantage of the water. Or, for example, when power is not being consumed in the middle of the night where power is available at a much lower price in the middle of the night, the idea of taking that power and capturing it in some way that's reusable, whether it's pumping water up a hill or battery storage or this idea, which I'm not familiar with, the whole idea of capturing power for short-term storage and then redistribution is the future. It's the essence of what Tesla's been doing with its battery farms. We're looking at it right now in one of my other businesses in terms of our ability to buy natural gas cheap at times, produce power. The question is, how do we store it, where do we store it, and how do we access that power again? So, you know, I don't know what your technical background is or where you're at, but clearly the piloting, you know, whether it's bench piloting at a university and then moving it into a field pilot in terms of technology, you have to, if all the technology is off the shelf, proving the economics of using it shouldn't be particularly difficult.
Now, science and tech, this is interesting because you often get people who say, you know, I have the idea for a better mousetrap. I have some technology, and this might come from, you know, the well-trained engineer. It might come from the guy in the garage or, again, so much innovation, Saskatchewan farmers over the years who have invented stuff. What do you do to move it from idea to even the remote chance of viable commercialization? There's a lot of dots to connect in there.
Well, especially in the world of technology, but again, that's, you know, the entire industry of, call it the short line manufactured farm equipment was created out of necessity and out of opportunity. And, you know, a farmer with a welder was in fact that very person who was creating the product and then field testing it themselves. It's a little more challenging as you up the game in terms of the technology, but most universities are set in some way, shape, or form, the School of Engineering in particular, to take some outside questions like this and try and, again, the essence of what I'm talking about here is bench testing it. And bench testing, it means it's done in the lab, it's done with, obviously the scientists or the students under the supervision of very skilled and capable professors and other academics, and looking at how does this work. How can it work? And most importantly, do the economics look interesting? They have to look absolutely compelling at the bench stage or you don't move forward.
Brett Wilson is here. That question of economics, when you are so in love with an idea that you just know it's going to work, how do you sit down and start to crunch those numbers, do that business plan? I'm going to ask Brett Wilson that question next. We're doing the radio pitch party.